Before we go on to the broader cultural aspects of all of this, since we're talking about the military and the war in Iraq, is there anything you'd like to say about the actual progress of the war and some of the long-term fallout from it?
The people are very upset. Their country's been invaded. It's been destroyed. It's been saturated with depleted uranium. Basic services aren't working. You have some Sunni and some Shia factions that want to fight each other and want to make sure that others don't rise to ascendancy. Same thing with the Kurds in the north. But fundamentally, the way I view it is that this is a Middle Eastern country that is reacting as though the white-skinned infidel has come to occupy them. And this frustration is only going to increase.
So now, moving from that back to homeland security and the evolution of public opinion in this country and overseas on this big crusade, the war on terror. Maybe I shouldn't use the word crusade, but in fact, it's, the word's been thrown out there. How do you see that whole scenario being directed, and where are we in that process?
Well, again, the political situation for the neocons is deteriorating rapidly. I just recently spoke on the second anniversary of 9/11 in New York City with Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman from Georgia, Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, John Judge, an independent researcher, a number of people active on 9/11. And we were asked the question, gee, do you think that they did the World Trade Center just so that they could enact all this draconian legislation, which we see in the form of the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, and now Patriot 2, which President Bush has advocated the passage of by Congress? And I said, it's a mistake to look at those as the end objectives. These are just tools. These are just means to an end, which the government knew that it would have to have in place when there was going to be an inevitable shift in public opinion, when it became apparent what this administration really was and how it was behaving and what it was doing. These are control measures. So where we are in that is I think the government has found itself on thinner ice than it thought it would be at this point in time. World opinion is turning dramatically. It has turned since the Iraqi war and even starting before that, very much opposed to what's going on. And much of the blinders are coming off. Just before going to New York, I was in Berlin, Germany, for a series of events, again with Congresswoman McKinney. But we had participants from London, from Germany. We had an Italian prosecuting magistrate, Guido Salvini, who came from Italy. And in prosecutions in Italy against terror cases, he had revealed that the so-called terrorists were actually working at CIA behest and control, and he'd won those cases in Italy. So there's a multinational effort that's emerging around the world, and American public support for the administration is absolutely disintegrating. So if we look at the evolution of legal restrictions, we've basically had the first, fourth, fifth, sixth, and eighth amendments to the U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights violated to one degree or another since 9/11. You see a lot of mechanisms in place, but I don't think you see a government quite willing to flip the switch yet. Because there is a coming presidential election, and of course there's a whole separate school of debate about the presidential election. After they stole the last one, why would we expect the next one to work? And now we have voting software issues from Diebold and other companies where the software is proprietary and can be easily corrupted, hacked, penetrated. And we saw that in the midterm elections in 2002. I think that we have to see in the next 6 months to a year how the economic, political, and energy pictures kind of mesh on a global scale to see what kind of unrest and or stability or instability presents itself to see how these weapons are going to be used against us. But the FBI can now search our houses when we're not there without a warrant. None of our electronic communications are protected anymore. John Ashcroft has decided to wiretap attorney-client conversations in terrorist cases. CIA can share information with LAPD, even though it wasn't gathered legally, and that can wind up in court. All of that's on the table. We've seen it used to a small extent, but I think that the government hasn't felt threatened enough yet, but they will, to really make Americans feel all the heat of that.
If you follow cartoons, political cartoons, you see this bubbling to the surface where, in a sense, it's not equal yet that one's more afraid of Islamic terrorists, more afraid of them than they are of government terrorists prying into their homes.
Right.
I mean, the cartoons are leaning in that direction.
Very much so. The gloves are off. The costumes are off. The neocons have revealed themselves to be what they are, lying brutes. That, to me, is truly a sign of desperation. as I said, public opinion is changing enormously. There's a whole shift in the way critics of the government since 9/11 are being viewed now. We're being treated with an enormous amount of respect in the media because we were right. We have documented our case, and our facts have held up, and so has our analysis. Very clearly, at one of my first major lectures at Portland State University in November of 2001, I ended the lecture, and this is the heart of our videotape, Truth and Lies of 9/11. I closed the lecture saying, the war on terrorism is also a war against you. And it was so very clear then. It's a whole different flavor now. Young American men and women are being killed, butchered, lied to, who went to the service being, and I say this term lovingly, young and stupid. I mean, I was young and stupid once. I became a policeman, and I was a true believer, and I went out, and I talked to contemporaries, my contemporaries, who are Vietnam veterans, and they say, we were all young and stupid once, but we see this whole new generation of American youth being turned into a hamburger, psychologically and physically, and the American people are beginning to feel this pressure, but I think slowly we're starting to see people understand that there's something driving all of this, which is even more frightening, which is the concept of peak oil and gas.